May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1065. O Thou from whom all goodness flows, I lift my heart to Thee. In all my sorrows, conflicts, woes, Jesus, remember me. 1065.
Let us read together in the book of the Revelation. The Revelation, chapter 3. Revelation, chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his sacred word to our souls and teach us to pray. Most holy and eternal, ever gracious Lord God, do in mercy look upon us, a little company of poor needy sinners, as we've gathered once more in thy house upon the evening of the day. And Lord, we pray that as we come before thee now, oh, do keep us conscious of what sinners we are and what our sins deserve and how wholly defiled we are through the effect of sin, continually. But Lord, we would come, looking to that one, the heavenly mediator, the one that stands between a poor sinner and a holy God. That one who is now at the Father's right hand, interceding for all thy people. Lord, we would come in faith, pleading the name, the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ for our acceptance. For Lord, that is our only hope, that we may be found accepted in the Beloved. Lord, leave us not, we pray, this night to an empty form of worship. We each stand in great need. We are each sinners, great sinners. And Lord, we would come then and seek to confess our many sins before thee. Oh, do grant to us real repentance and true confession. Lord, leave us not, we pray, to empty words, familiar phrases, for we each have never-dying souls, and we are each fast hastening on to a never-ending eternity, and none of us know when that call will come, bidding us to leave all things here below. But oh, may it be our great, our chief concern to know that our souls are eternally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ, that our sins were laid upon the dear Lord Jesus in Gethsemane and at Calvary. And there, the dear Lord Jesus Christ endured the punishment due to his people for their sins. He shed his precious blood to make that perfect atonement, that thereby poor sinners may be reconciled to thee. Lord, we want to know it experimentally in our soul's experience. We cannot be satisfied short, thou knowest. We have a sinful heart, and Lord, we continually sin. But oh, it is to the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we would look, the blood of Jesus Christ, thy Son, cleanseth from all sin. Lord, we want to know it in the power and efficacy of it, in our soul's experience. We can't rest in the knowledge of the truth of it. It's the power we seek. And Lord, make that mighty power known this night, if it could please thee, that sinners may be brought out of nature's darkness into thy marvellous light, quickened into divine life, and brought to know their great need and spiritual poverty. For Lord, thou knowest them that are thine, for the foundation of God standeth sure, having that seal. And Lord, thou knowest those that whom thou hast purchased with thy blood in this little company tonight. Lord, we pray that none of us might be left to rest short of that knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ lived and suffered and shed his blood and died, that we poor sinners might live. Lord, thou knowest those souls before thee who long for that blessing, who seek to have that blessing renewed, those, Lord, who feel to be far off from thee, having known and tasted of the precious truths of the gospel, but troubled and burdened on account of where they are, what they feel in their own soul's experience, their ignorance and spiritual poverty. Lord, thou knowest how often thy dear people are brought there in their soul's experience. But, oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt come in thine infinite mercy this night, that thou wilt break through all the clouds of unbelief and sin. Deliver us from all our many fears and doubts. And Lord, we pray that souls this night may be brought into the glorious liberty of the gospel, to be able to testify of thy love and mercy to their souls, despite all than we have felt to be. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt come just where we are, and may we know that touch, that precious heavenly balm of Gilead, applied to our sin-stained hearts and consciences. Lord, thou knowest those before thee who are walking in paths of trouble, distress, afflictions, and trials, those burdened, and we humbly trust there are, burdened on account of their many sins and transgressions, fearing to presume, and yet found seeking after thee. Lord, we pray that there might be encouragement for such souls who are feeling after thee, if haply they may find thee. For Lord, thou hast said, none shall seek thy face in vain. Lord, thou art exhorted, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. But Lord, we pray for that precious living faith in exercise in our hearts, that as we come to thee with all our needs, our troubles and distresses, we may be enabled to believe that thou art able, that thou dost hear and answer the poor prayers of thy dear people, and thou knowest our need far more better than we know it ourselves. Lord, do come then and break the bread of life to our souls, and may we be, our souls be nourished and strengthened in the precious word of God. Lord, we want thee to speak the word into our poor hearts with power. Son, daughter, thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. Lord, we pray for the dear young friends and those not here this night. Remember them each in much mercy. Watch over them in their various pathways. Sustain and uphold them. And may they see thy hand going before them, directing their every step and providing for all their needs. But Lord, we pray that, oh, that each one might it please thee to give to them a tender spirit, the tender fear of the Lord in their youthful days, that they may be found conscious of their great need of a Saviour, and that they may be found truly seeking after thee with that desire of the Apostle Paul, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection. Lord, be with them in all those things that concern them. Keep them from the world. Leave them not to be ensnared by them, by it. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt provide for them in all their future pathways. And Lord, thou seest the end from the beginning. But oh, might it please thee to visit our dear young friends in love and mercy in their youthful days, that they may be brought to know thee, whom to know is life eternal, that in after years they may be enabled to say, thus did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. We pray for those older in life, some having to bear the heat and burden of the day in their lawful callings. Lord, be round about each one continually. Preserve and uphold them. And Lord, we pray that thou'll be ever near to them, preserving them amidst all those things that they have to deal with, the things of time and sense, those of the world. Lord, oh, may they continually prove, though they're in the world, they're not part of the world. Lord, sustain them in their path, and those exercised souls, oh, do grant to them their soul's desires. We pray for those older in life, and Lord, thou knowest those who are coming to the close of their days. Lord, it cannot be far off now for us. Oh, that great need to be prepared for that great change which awaits us. Lord, leave not any of us to be deceived or to rest short, but oh, might it please thee to give to us a clearer view of our interest in the Lord Jesus Christ, in what he is and what he has done. Lord, it's that we want. Oh, might it please thee to break through all those clouds that obstruct our view, and Lord, that thou wilt come and make thyself known to us as our Saviour and our Redeemer, and that it was for us thou didst prepare those heavenly mansions in the skies. Lord, we pray for this little church and congregation, and seek that thou wilt bless them with spiritual prosperity. And as thy servants labour here, may they often feed under this vine, and that souls might be blessed, and souls in thy time brought to testify of thy love and mercy, and that which thou hast done for them and done in them. Lord, we pray for those who carry the responsibility here. Remember the deacons, and see that thou wilt grant to them thy upholding grace. Thou knowest their great need, and we pray that thou wilt remember them still. And Lord, we pray that they may continually prove that thou art a faithful God, that despite those responsibilities they carry concerning this church and house of prayer, Lord, enable them to lean hard upon thee and to trust alone in thee. Lord, we pray for all thy people, wherever they are, and we would especially remember those in great age and bodily infirmities, one Lord, connected with this house of prayer, has never been unable to gather here for many years, and now, in great age and affliction, Lord, we commit her unto thee, and seek that thou wilt remember her in mercy in these her last days. Lord, thou knowest. Oh, might it please thee, if it is thy will, to draw near unto her and cause her to know that thou art God, and that thou art that one Saviour that we, thy people, all look to. Lord, we commit her unto thee. We pray for others. Thou knowest, Lord, where they are. Some tender in years, and remember those, Lord, upon whom thou hast laid thy afflicting hand. And Lord, oh, might it please thee to put forth thy healing hand in a measure, that there might be a restoration. But Lord, thou knowest what thou wilt do, but oh, may in these things, oh, may there be fruit brought forth to thine honour and thy glory, that thy name might be magnified. Lord, we pray especially for the grieving family who've laid a mother in the grave today. Lord, thou knowest. We commit them unto thee, and seek thou comfort those that are mourning. The one left sustain and uphold him and each member of the family. But, oh, may these things be used of thee, if it is thy will, that the death of one might be the spiritual birth of many others. Lord, it's thy work. Lord, we commit them unto thee and seek that thou wilt comfort their sorrowing hearts. We pray for Zion, thy one church. Thou seest the solemn state in Zion today. How few gather in thy earthly courts. How little seems to be done. How little power is known in the preaching and hearing of the word. And Lord, what a concern it is to thy exercised people. Lord, it's the reality and the power of real religion we want to know more of in our soul's experience. Lord, it is to know that sweet communion with the church's living head. Lord, we cannot be satisfied without it. Lord, might it please thee to draw near unto us even this evening. And Lord, may there be those spiritual blessings found in heavenly places in Christ Jesus dispensed amongst us, if it is thy holy will. Lord, we pray for Zion's real prosperity. Oh, turn us again, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Lord, we would pray for this guilty land and seek that thou would have mercy upon this nation. Oh, the wickedness, evil and depravity which is so evident. Lord, we deserve thy wrath, but oh, might it please thee yet to remember mercy for the sake of thy remnant and for thy great name's sake. Lord, thou knowest, but oh, may it be our chief concern to take heed to that exhortation that thou didst utter whilst here below. Be ye also ready, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Lord, we would thank thee now for all thy favours and blessings. Lord, what cause we have to bless thee for thou art faithful that promised, and thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, and thou dost not deal with us according to our sins, or reward us according to our iniquities. And now as we turn to thy word, do come and open up the truth to us. Deliver us from all carnal, intruding, worldly thoughts and cares. Shut us into thyself. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt come and make thy presence known. And may the word be used of thee this night, wherein thy name is honoured and glorified. Do pardon all our many, many sins, as we ask these petitions in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 1034. Jesus, my soul's athirst for thee, absent from thee I cannot rest. Come now, reveal thyself to me, I cannot leave thy throne unblessed. 1034.
the word that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening as the Lord will enable me. You'll find in the chapter that we read in the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, and the first 4 verses. The first 4 verses in chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the account of these 7 churches in Asia. And we find that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to them individually, tells them that he knows their work, that he knows their works. He sees them, and there are those things that he commended some of them for, and also warned them of those things which he was displeased about. Now we have in this account of Sardis, letter to Sardis, my dear friend, it a solemn account we have before us. These things that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars, those stars are the ministers of God. They're all held in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he addresses them this to those ministers and the church that they have responsibility for. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. What a solemn case those characters are in. A name to live, but were dead. Still dead in trespasses and in sins, yet convinced themselves that they possessed a real religion. They made a profession. They doubtless spoke the language of Zion, and yet all that they had was a name to live, but were dead. Like those foolish virgins, they all possessed faith, a faith. They all had an expectation of entering into the marriage supper when the Lord would come. They all had a profession of religion. They seemed, it seems from that account, they weren't recognizable. There was no difference between the foolish virgins and the wise virgins. But there was something missing. There was no grace in the hearts of the foolish virgins, refer to they had no oil in their vessels. It was all a deception. And oh, how in those last, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, that heavenly bridegroom called them, they found they were wanting. They had no grace in their hearts. What a solemn case that was. And my dear friend, we have the description here of these characters. They had a form of religion. They attended the house of prayer. They heard the gospel preached. They assented to the truth of it. They knew it in their own minds, and yet knew nothing of those truths experimentally. They could speak of those things concerning the gospel, not from a personal experience of them, but because they had heard others speak. The Lord's servants set forth the precious truths of the gospel. That was where it ended. They knew nothing more than that. They had a name to live and were dead. Others held them in high regard. They thought they were eminent Christians. They thought they were the Lord's people, until the solemn truth was made known to them, when they came to die, that all their profession was but a deceit. My dear friend, what solemn things these are. Do they not bring us each to self-examination? Because if the Lord is dealing with us in mercy, he'll bring us to see that we have nothing in and ourselves. Truly, we can do nothing which is acceptable to God. We sin continually. Every moment of the day, in thought and word and deed. Perhaps you say this. Is it really as bad as that? It is every bit so, my dear friend. Because you see, we are defiled. Mankind is defiled by sin. And we will continue to be in that state until we come to the end of the journey. Because we sin continually. But the great difference and the great distinction between the Lord's people and these who are satisfied with an empty form of profession, my dear friend, is this. That great difference between the two is one that those of the Lord's people have tasted of the precious truths of the gospel, these characters. It's all by conjecture and that which is of the imagination of their hearts. We have no ground to believe that all who enter into the Lord's house, Sabbath by Sabbath, weekday by weekday, are the Lord's people. We've got no grounds to believe that. My dear friend, when the Lord Jesus Christ was here below, he preached the gospel, he gave many warnings, and yet there are many who heard those warnings. They heard the words at his mouth. They turned away from him, stirred up enmity within many hearts. They had no desire after these things. It was so in the apostles' days. It was so in those days of the Reformation, the days of the Puritans, and it has been and will be so right down to the end of time. We cannot say, because we enter into the Lord's house regularly and hear his gospel preached, that we are amongst the Lord's people. My dear friend, we want much more than that. You see, that is to simply rest in the ordinance of the house, not to look to the God of the house and the provision that he has made for his people in the house of prayer, where they can attend and hear the gospel preached and hear the word of God and to hear his voice and to hear those solemn warnings and threatenings given through God's word, those words of encouragement, those precious blessings the Lord bestows upon his people. Many of the Lord's people have been blessed in his house, but my dear friend, there'll be first the exercise in our poor heart. If we are graciously exercised and the Lord has quickened us into divine life, we shall come with a real hunger and a real thirst, a desire to hear from the Lord. What have we just been singing? The desire of that one, it was to hear the Lord's voice. And so it will be in every child of God graciously exercised. They'll want to hear what the Lord will say to them. Those who are satisfied with a form will go and come, careless and indifferent, with no real interest in these truths. Now, my dear friend, this does not include, this solemn word here does not include all of the church of Sardis. There are three different characters in this church. We have this solemn indictment. The Lord, these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. So there are those that are dead in trespasses and in sins. There are those that are ready to die, feeling to die, dying spiritually. My dear friend, there's a great difference between that sense of that lack of spiritual exercise in the heart and spiritual death. Spiritual death is that wherein all mankind are found in by nature when quickened into divine life, dead in trespasses and in sin. And unless the Lord has mercy upon them, their souls will perish forever. So, not only are those characters who are dead in trespasses and in sins that gather in the Lord's house, there are those who feel to be dying. They're spoken of. They that are ready to die. What does that mean, my dear friend? It means this. They've known that spiritual life. They've been quickened into divine life. They've been brought to know their need. And their souls are graciously exercised. And the paths that the Lord appoints for them to walk in brings everything oftentimes to the test as to the reality of what they are and what they have and what they know, and brings them into question as to the reality of their religion and their eternal safety when called from time to eternity. Now, my dear friend, these are the souls that we find in the Lord's house. Those who are graciously exercised. They feel to come short in so much. They feel to be sinners. They know the power of evil within their own hearts. They know the temptations of the adversary to their souls. They feel their weakness and spiritual poverty. They feel their lack of grace. They feel that their faith is so low, almost seeming to have died. But it never can. That faith that the Lord gives to his dear people when he quickens them into divine life, my dear friend, can never, never be withdrawn. But it will be tried. It will be exercised. And it is that child of God sometimes, through the effect of sin in their lives and found in their hearts, they know the solemn effect of it. And you know, when the Lord brings it home to us, that we sin continually, we are brought to mourn over that sin. And the Lord brings us to real confession and true repentance for those sins. But we shall grieve over those sins and mourn over it. Because you see, if we're found, and how many of us know it? If we are taken up with our lawful callings in life, and we become involved with the people of the world and the things of the world in our lawful callings, and we find so easily our poor minds imbibe the spirit of the world, unwittingly we seem to be drawn away to it. And the Lord shows it to us. And oh, how it brings us to sorrow over it. It brings us to mourn over that condition. Perhaps we've been careless. Perhaps there hasn't been that exercise in our hearts to be preserved and kept. It seems that we've gone on from day to day, unmindful of God's continual mercies to us, both in providence and in grace. And we find the solemn effect of it in our own heart. What is that? A lifelessness in the things of God. There's little exercise in our own poor hearts. We find that when we come to pray, oh, how difficult, how hard it is. Our hard hearts. Do we know, my dear friend, sometimes when we come to this point, we cannot pray. Guilt rests heavily upon our consciences. We will know that we've grieved the Lord. And here in that condition, we find we come to the throne of grace. And the words that come forth from our hearts, oh, seem so formal. It's vain repetition. There's no feeling in them. There's no real desire in those things that for those petitions offered up. There's a sense of deadness in our spirits. Do we know it, my dear friend? I believe the Lord's people do, and they're greatly tried over it. It brings us to see this within us. That is, in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. We have no power to keep ourselves. We've nothing to be proud of, everything to be ashamed of. Then we look to see what we really do know and what we really do possess. That is, that which the Lord has revealed to us. Those blessings that he's bestowed upon us. Those promises that he gives to us. And oh, they seem to lack that reality which we knew as we go back over our little lives when those times when the Lord drew near and blessed us. How sweet it was. How lively we were in the things of God. How those desires flowed from our heart. A desire to know him, to know that nearness to him, to hear his voice, to know and feel his presence. It's different now. Do we know this experience, my dear friend? I believe many of the Lord's people do. It's the path that the Lord appoints for his people. My dear friend, it's not to distress us. It's to bring us to a solemn realization of, and to remind us of what we are, and that we deserve nothing at his hand, and that we are wholly dependent in every step of the way for him to sustain us and maintain us in that path. That cry when exercise comes forth from the heart. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Set a watch before my mouth and keep the door of my lips. These are these characters. Oh, they're spiritually alive. The Lord sustains that life. But my dear friend, he's bringing us to depend upon him, to trust alone in him. And we can, when we come to these extremities, the Lord's people brings his, he brings his people to those places when it seems that everything is coming to an end and all is brought into question. The devil taunts us, tells us that we have no religion, that all that we imagined we had, all that we thought we had was of our own imagination. He paints a picture of those spiritual blessings that we've taken them to ourselves, those precious promises we hoped that the Lord had spoken to us in days gone by. There isn't the exercise now that the promise should be fulfilled. You see, the Lord brings us there, just like he did to Hezekiah, to come to this point. Oh Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. And you know, the Lord wonderfully appeared for Hezekiah, didn't he? He was in deep trouble. Yes, the path that he had been called to walk in, here the city was besieged, threatened to be overthrown. He was afflicted, and the Lord sent his servant Isaiah to tell him that he was to die and not live. Oh, what distress Hezekiah was in. He was a good king. He feared God, and he did that which was right in his sight. And yet the Lord saw the needs be for him to walk in this path. How he cried unto his God, and the Lord appeared for him. He healed him. He brought about that's whereby those enemies are outside the gates had to return. And my dear friend, we find the Lord not only delivered him, he extended his life by another 15 years. But he did much more than that. He blessed him. Oh, what a blessing that dear man had. He had that precious blessing, that token of God's love and mercy to him. He told him that all his sins had been put away forever, blotted out. Oh, my dear friend, you know, oftentimes, when we're walking these trials and troubles of the pathway here below, we know not what to do. It seems that everything has been turned upside down. All those things that we fondly imagined, it's all brought to the test. It's that winnowing time. The Lord puts his people into those sieves. And it is that thereby the dross and tin should be consumed, that the wheat might remain. That which the Lord has done for a child of God. And so, my dear friend, in these paths, some of you will doubtless have known it. In these paths, these dark paths, these trying paths, the Lord draws near and grants to you and has granted to you a blessing, an indeed blessing, a special blessing. You've never forgotten it. Oh, the gracious effect it had. Oh, how you blessed the Lord for him, for his deliverance. Oh, how you loved him now. How at the throne of grace you're enabled to pour out your heart before the Lord and acknowledge his goodness and mercy to your poor unworthy soul. Now you're able to trust in the dear Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to him you looked. Your heart was drawn out after him to seek to bless him and praise him for what he had done, for that remarkable and blessed deliverance. These are these characters, and they were found at Sardis, this church, which seemed to be in such a low state, ready to die. But my dear friend, the Lord often brings his people there. It's there we learn these vital lessons as to what we really do know, what we really possess, and a longing desire that we might have another evidence that we have a title to those heavenly mansions in the skies. Those that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. And then the exhortation. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt know what hour I will come upon thee. Now we would desire to consider the third character, third type found at Sardis. And these are they. He had a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. It's those souls who have been brought out of that horrible pit and the miry clay, brought to see that their only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. In that great work which he accomplished in Gethsemane and at Calvary, that their sins were laid upon the dear Lord Jesus Christ. And he suffered and shed his blood and died, a perfect atonement for those sins, that thereby they were reconciled to a holy, holy God, joined to him in that sacred union with the church's living head. These are these favoured ones who know those spiritual blessings, and it's that which these other souls long to know, to have in their heart a firm foundation to their hope, a ground of their faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. What does that mean, my dear friend? These souls who are brought to rest upon the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that perfect righteousness which was wrought out by the Lord Jesus Christ in Gethsemane and at Calvary. For it is alone through his righteousness imputed to each one of his dear people that they are viewed in the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ, covering their defilement, their corruption, clothed in Christ's righteousness, washed in his blood. These are these souls, my dear friend, who we read They've not defiled their garments. That is, their righteousnesses have proved to be but filthy rags. That profession that they thought they were satisfied with once, it they now see it's all an empty form, and they're unable to say this. And how many of us can say it? Those words are often sung, but you know how few people are brought to being able to sing those words from the heart. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. These are these favoured characters and Sardis. And my dear friend, those who are upheld as they dwelt there, not entangled with the world and the things of it, preserved and kept and upheld by the dear Lord Jesus Christ. A few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. My dear friend, what is it to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? It is to obey his word, his command, to delight in his word. That is to walk with him. It is with a spirit of praise and thankfulness found within their hearts from time to time, wherein they are enabled to truly rejoice in him and what he has done, to walk in obedience to his command, to know a song of praise upon their lips, that song of the redeemed, which is sung, it's recorded in this first chapter in the book of the Revelation. It's that song which all his people will sing eternally. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. These souls are enabled to sing that song, a few notes of that song, here below, wherein they desire to honour and glorify their Lord and Saviour, to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, to commune with him, just like those disciples on the Emmaus Road. Oh, when the Lord Jesus Christ was with them, taught speaking to them, they knew not that it was the dear Lord. But oh, when their eyes were opened, and the Lord vanished out of their sight, then they knew they'd been with Jesus. They'd heard such precious truths from the words that he had spoken to them. Now they could believe. Walking with Jesus. That is the walk of faith, trusting in him, where we cannot trace him, dependent upon him in every part, every step of the way, to provide for all our needs, to grant to us all sufficient grace, to grant us that continual help, to prove the truth of that word. When I am weak, then am I strong. Then dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. not worthy in themselves. Their worthiness is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is worthy to be praised. They are the subjects of God's love and mercy to their souls, and they're brought to truly rejoice in Him and what He has done. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And my thoughts go to that chapter in the 7th of the book of Revelation, where we read this, when John was speaking, elders were speaking to John. The question was asked, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, they are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are these characters that shall walk with the dear Lord Jesus in white. Will you? Will I be found amongst them? My dear friend, that will be the desire of the Lord's living family. And that is the reason why the Lord brings us into these paths, these trials and afflictions, to so exercise us and to loosen us from the things of this world, which so easily we unwittingly become attached to, and all the effect that it has upon us in our spiritual exercises. But the Lord will fulfill that work, my dear friend. He does it to every one of his people. He does loosen them. It may not be outwardly evident, but his work is in the heart. And he loosens that love of the things of time and sense. Those times when we are taken up with possessions, loved ones, we'll have to leave them all behind, my dear friend, when the Lord calls us from time to eternity. And I believe the Lord prepares his dear people, wherein they are brought home as a shock of corn, fully ripe, prepared by the Lord himself to enter into glory, to be forever with him. Do we know it? That word is often spoken of. It used to be years ago, holding things of the world in a loose hand. Well, it's a good desire, my dear friend. There's only one who can enable us to do that. But the Lord has his own way of loosening us from the world. He causes us to walk in paths and experiences whereby, and how many of the Lord's people coming to the end of the journey, they're all there watching and waiting for his appearing, willing to leave everything here below, taken up with a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer, the one upon whom their hopes of heaven depend, the one who has done so much for them, that great price that he paid in Gethsemane and at Calvary, where he laid down his life to save his people from their sins. Oh, now they'll glory in him to see that they've been brought out of that wretched state by nature, not because there's anything in you and me, but because the Lord chose and set his love upon a certain number to whom he would grant these blessings. And know how great those blessings are, brought out of nature's darkness into his marvellous light, brought to know a precious Christ, a dear Redeemer, saved from the solemn consequences of our sins, but to have that prospect that when called from time to eternity, it will be well For the Lord has prepared that place for his people. He prepares his people for that place which he prepared for them. As we read in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, shall we be there, my dear friend? Isn't that the great question in your poor heart? Oh, that I knew that the Saviour died for me. Oh, that I knew that my sins were have been put away forever at Calvary, and that it is with that he has loved me with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness he's drawn me to himself, to be the one thing needful to know him and to be found in him at last. I leave the word with you. It's a solemn word, but there is a word of encouragement here for those poor, tried, tempted souls. My dear friend, he which hath begun that good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You may say, well, I know but very little. Now, I feel almost to know nothing at all. The Lord's people know that place until the Lord comes. But those of you who are seeking that he would remember you, my dear friend, he'll not leave you. He has said, none shall seek his face in vain. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Henry Mercer is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pocock next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 680. Before all worlds the glorious plan, the blessed eternal deed, was settled by the eternal three, that Christ for man should bleed. 680.
Thank you.
word, and do pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this evening. But that which has been of thee, do cause to abide in our heart, and seal it there by the Holy Spirit. Watch over us now as we part. Grant journeying mercies. Be with us through the remainder of our little lives here below. And prepare us each for a never-ending eternity. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all. Amen.